The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be greatly blessed as you are impacted by this powerful word of God from Christ Way Ministries International. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened as you experience the power in the word of God. God bless you.
We receive strength to stand. We receive strength to stand. We receive strength to move. And we receive strength to finish strong. In the mighty name of Jesus. As we share your word today, Father, we ask for stamina. We ask for that propulsion that will take us to higher grounds. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And let the people say louder, amen. Amen. You can have your seats. I want to thank God for the opportunity given me to share this all-time truth with us. And I want to thank the Lord for our leadership, particularly our daddy, the general pastor. The Lord, you will live long, sir. And we will fulfill purpose. If you've been going through, you know, all the messages that we have been receiving, we want to thank God for the ways they've been arranged, very sequential, one lapping into the other. And when my brother, who finished here before we had the prayer, was speaking, he spoke passionately about why we are what we are and why we are where we are today. And one thing that we need to feel now is the how. We know that truly the field is wide for harvest, but the laborers are few. We know that we need to be fruitful, and we have listened to those who came before us, some of the things we need for ourselves, so that as ministers of God, we can be what God wants us to be. But in relation to fruitfulness, we need to remind ourselves so that we can do what we need to do. How can we bear fruit? And how can we bear much fruit? Just not scanty fruit. Let me start by saying that this message is a message for the ministers. It's not a message that we are going to church to preach to members of the church. It is, we are trying to crack bones. And we need to digest it and then be able to feed our church with it. So it's a message, as computer people will say, it's a message for the back end. It's what we do to actually get the results that we want to get. You know, when you press your computer, you don't know what is operating behind. You just press and then it gives you results. So we are the back end. We are the one that's going to cause things to happen. And I want us to take it in that spirit, and I'll be sharing with us how to, you know, bear much fruit. And this message becomes very important because when you look at the instructions of the Bible, in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, the writer was saying that we need to give more earnestness to the things that we have learned, the things that we know, lest those things slip by us. Now, when something slips, you may not notice. If a bag of rice is decreased by half of kobiowu, you probably would not know. But by the time you put about 40 bags together, you've already gained almost a bag. So if somebody removes one kobiowu from every bag, by the time he puts 30 bags together, he has gained a bag. But to every bag from which one measure has been removed, you probably think that the measure is still correct. So it's also the same thing when you are making a journey. If I'm going from here, if it's going to be a straight line, and I'm going for about 1,000 kilometers, if I just deviate by 1 degree, which may not be visible to somebody in this hall, but by the time I'm finishing that journey, I'll be miles away from where I'm supposed to be. So that is how important that scripture is. Now, the other reason why it's become so important to rehearse what we want to rehearse today is because we're having new leaders joining us. And the truth that we know and we expect that they know, they are probably not being taught. And we need to revisit the things that we do and that make us to bear fruit this much and now to continue to bear fruit. You know, over the social media, you know, we are conversant there. We read of one of the ministries in this country who was sacking the pastors. And some people have positive comments, some were very averse to it. And the reason given was that they were not fruitful. You know, people make us nice kind of comments. And today, we have also had our pastor saying that, are we fruitful? That's Pastor Ajibade. You know, are we fruitful? And upon all that we're doing, are they bearing fruit? Because the measure of what we're doing is the fruitfulness. And that is why this passage becomes so important, that we need to look at this message again and again. And I pray the Almighty God will mix this word with grace so that we bear fruit in our lives in the name of Jesus. I've chosen a text, and that is in the book of John chapter 15, verses 4 to 8. It is for us to ruminate, and I want to thank God for the change in the order of the program, so that during break time, we are not only going to eat, we are also going to think about what we have heard. But the key verse is taken from John chapter 15, verse 16. And Jesus said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruits, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name." That is the key verse that I'm going to dwell on. Now, by way of introduction, let me say that our God is not a waster. When God makes a thing, when God puts a system in place, what God expects is fruitfulness. Even for God creating man, the intent of God is that we will be fruitful and multiply. And you will have seen that in many passages in the scriptures, where there is no fruitfulness, Jesus always got really angry with that. He gave so many parables about fruitfulness. You remember very well the parable of the vineyard, you know, the tree that was not fruitful, and Jesus said, "I'm going to cut it down." And the gardener said, "No, let me put more fertilizer. Let me nurture it more. Give me more time so that if it bear fruit, fine. But if it doesn't bear fruit, then you can do away with it." Now, Jesus also gave us an illustration. That was a real-time miracle. That was not a parable. He saw a tree, a fig tree. It was not the time of the fig to bear fruit. But contrarily, this fig tree had so much fruit, so much leaves, was so blossoming, so much that somebody will expect that it must carry fruit. And Jesus went near and saw that there was no fruit on that tree. And what did Jesus do? This is a seminar, and I'm going to take it as a seminar. And I'm going to give you time, opportunity, as much as I can manage the time here, so that you can ask questions. That's the beauty of seminar. You can get back to me. Now, when Jesus saw that fruit, what did he do? He said, "Cursed be that tree, and that no man will eat from it again." Now, let's look at it. Was that tree wrong? What offense did the tree commit that Jesus should cause it? But it was giving us a lesson that if there is so much activities, if there is so much jumping around, and there is no fruit, it's accursed. It's not the desire of God. And the following day, when they were passing by, the disciples saw it and said, "Master, the tree that you caused is dried up." You know, you call the attention of Jesus to that. But what the bit I need in that story is the bit that Jesus expects whatever he has created, whatever organ he has made, to be fruitful. And we shall also be fruitful in Jesus' name. If church is measured by financial returns, it is one of the worst business. Imagine how much you put in place to put a structure down, the drum set and everything, and at the end of the day, look at your offering. And you look at it. If church is business, and you are not trying to make it a business, it's not profitable. But it's profitable because one soul to God is more than millions and billions of naira. But God wants us to make even much more. Now, when we look at about bearing much fruit, theologically, you may say, well, there are all kinds of fruit we can bear. You can talk about fruit of repentance. If somebody says he has repented, he must bring forth what? Fruit of repentance. Now, you may be talking about fruit of the Spirit. You may be talking about fruit of, godly character. You may be talking about so many things. But for the purpose of the discussion today, we're looking at fruitfulness in terms of you reproducing yourself. We're looking about me. I'm here today. Who do I have that I can point to and say, by the grace of God, God has enabled me to do this? Who is the greatest apostle, the most celebrated apostles in the Bible? Who knows? Paul. But you know that Paul would have been lost, except for who? Not for God, though. Not for Christ. Except for who? Now, who brought up Paul in the faith? Huh? Barnabas. Except for Barnabas, when Paul was trying to even approach the church, what were they trying to do? Push him away. It was Barnabas who said, no, I know this man has repented. This man has changed. He met Jesus. Jesus converted him personally. But for Barnabas, we will have lost Paul forever. And he took him up. But eventually they fought. They separated. And came back. But whatever. But at least he did his bit. And without him, we will have lost Paul. So what we're talking about now is not about, agriculture, there are many ways you can raise chicken. If you buy chicken and you allow them to stray about, they eat whatever they have, they can eat, they can survive. But if you want good ones, you put it in a cage. You feed it, you water it, you do everything, and you get the best out of it. So what we are saying today is that, can God look at us and entrust a soul into our hands? I don't want us to do a rush thing. Don't think about 10. Don't think about 5. We're going to go step by step as we've been taught in the past. But we want to be committed to a soul. We want to be committed to at least a soul. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Sometimes a woman gets pregnant expecting a child, but he has twins, Abby. Sometimes he has triplets. Sometimes he just say, God, give me one. And after one, he continues to have more. So even though we're talking one, we can have multiples. But the question is, we must not go through this life. We must not end our history in Christ's way without a soul. Can we rise together and sing this song? Must I go and must I meet my not one soul with wish to greet him? Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go?
Let's sing that stanza one more time.
Must I go and empty-handed? Must
I meet my Savior so?
Not one soul with which to greet. Father, we lift up our hands that passing through this life, we shall not go empty-handed. Amen. We shall bear fruit.
Amen.
Example to us. And we pray that after the examples of those who have gone ahead, we shall be fruitful.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Let's have a seat. Very quickly, I'm going to look at this under three other headings. Significant scriptures about fruit bearing. Now, I'm going to just look at three scriptures because we don't have the pleasure of time. In the book of John chapter 15, verse 16, which we have read, and we're going to read it again, but I want to look at it meditatively. Jesus said, "You did not choose me." And that is a fact. Nobody chose to be born again. That I gave my life to Christ is a misnomer. It is that Jesus made you to realize the need for you to be born again. So, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and do what? And bear fruit." So, the purpose, the primary reason Jesus shows us is to do what? Is to bear fruit. And that had been said here over and over again. And the remainder probably is where we emphasize so much that whatever we ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's the benefit. But the reason for the choice is that we may bear fruit. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make what? Disciples." Now, when he said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me," he said, "Therefore," because of this reason, that power is backing you up. Because of this reason, that power is available to you. Go and make disciples. He didn't ask us to go and just display. He said, "Go and make disciples." And I like what I heard on the altar today, or what you've been hearing. We are told that even if God shows you to be in the chorister, in the choir, the reason is for you to make disciples. If you're in the prayer squad, the reason for you is to make disciples. These are just avenues by which you can deploy the grace of God that is in our lives. Now, the third scripture we're going to look at is in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And Paul was telling Timothy here, he said, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses," he said, "commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And that underscores what we want to do today, what we're doing at this moment. He said, "Commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And the essence is that building up the body of Christ is a relay. If we do it well, and the generation after us have not done it well, then it means we didn't do well. The certification of our well-doing is the generation coming after us. If the generation after us lose out, it means that we have not handed over to them properly. We have heard about the altar. The altar has become a theater place rather than being an altar. And that is not what we should hand over to them. So we're going to now look at, I don't want to speak so much on that. We can all, we are ministers of God, find out much more scriptures to elucidate the significant scripture that talk about fruitfulness. But what we want to do today is strategy planning. Is what? How do we do it? So that we don't just be like chicken that are led to feed on their own. I see many people come to church, first timer, they come. But as they come, they also go away. How do we retain them? And we're going to look at what we need to do. But the real focus of this seminar is that whatever we learn here today, the important thing is whether we're going to commit ourselves to them, and that commitment must be consistent. It's not just for a while. So, the strategies that we want to learn here, there are many models that we have learned in this ministry. We have learned about one, everybody a minister. We have learned about 3 years, 4 years. We have learned about so many models have been taught. Cell approach to, making disciples and all the rest. But I'm just going to pick one of them. You know, there is a minister in Cameroon those days who talked about binary multiplication. That if you win one, then two of you win another two. Now they do all kinds of binary. But the thing got truncated because there is no continuity. So today I'm going to focus on the four E's, the four E models. And the four E models, the four E, E letter E, E for elephant, number one is evangelism. So you can get all the four E's, then we're going to discuss. Then the number two is the establishment. Number three is equipping. And then finally, engagement. Now, if this cycle cannot be jumped. You cannot jump from evangelism and go to engagement. If you do it, you are not going to get a disciple. So it's a process that must follow systematically, one after the other. And you cannot skip evangelism and now begin to do establishment. No. And that is why we have so many unconverted members. Because they are not evangelized. We just get them and then we want to start using them. They are not going to get born again. Rather, they are going to burn the church. So, we're going to look at how we're going to do it. And then the first stage is evangelism. Now, this involves individual engagements in the preaching. And this can be preceded by some groundbreaking activities. When we do city evangelism, when we do crusade, that is not the end of it. Actually, crusades, video, film, and everything, they are precursor. They are things that should happen before we now go. And this we saw in the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. You know, in the book of Luke chapter 10, the Bible says that Jesus will send the disciples to the places where he himself is yet to go. So he sent them ahead. They do a kind of scoping, as they call it in our sciences. They try to do everything. And then Jesus now comes. And when he comes, then the real work takes place. Okay? So, the same thing, when we go out and we say, well, we're doing a big time crusade, that is not yet the evangelism. But now, that's the groundbreaking. And then this is now followed by some other kinds of evangelism. The Bible says the harvest is truly ripe for harvest. The field is truly ripe for harvest, but the laborers are few. I want us to look at some scriptures in the Bible, and that is the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. Let me quickly get there. But if you found it before me, you can read. So it's a seminar. We can all be together. Hosea, chapter 10, the book of Hosea, chapter 10. Okay, I'm going to read. Yes, verse 12. Yes. It says, sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up what? Your fallow ground.
For it is time to seek the Lord.
It is time to seek the Lord. And it will come and rain righteousness upon us. Amen. Thank you, man. So we need to break up some fallow ground. And then we'll be able to now follow that up. Now, what the kind of evangelism that takes place here are diverse. For example, we have one-to-one. We go out and do person-to-person evangelism. Some people may be visiting schools. Some people may take pleasure in ministering to maybe the needy, you know. But what I want to say here that will make this stage permanent is that we don't do it and leave this place and leave the place. If we do evangelism, then we must leave people there. We must leave people there that will continue that vision. Let me say that everyone will be taken through the four levels. But after we have taken everyone through the four levels, in that first level, let's say we decided that we want to be visiting SD Hospital to go and do evangelism there. By the time we are leaving, we must leave remnants. And those people are going to be our anchor persons in that place. We will continue the work. Everybody had taken part, but they now continue the work. If we decided that, okay, we want to visit, then they have a brand name and say, this is our hospital visitors. But they are not only going to be preaching. They will take those, the one, to the next level, to the third level, and to the fourth level. But every one of us must be involved ab initio at the beginning. And every one of us may also say, well, we're going to this city. You know, those days we go to Elele. And you know what we left in Elele after evangelizing Elele? We have Elele church. So there is a group left so that they can oversee the work and then the work can continue. Now, even if we are not planting a church, there must be ambassadors who are left to continue the work. The next stage, this is written. So I said here in closing, we must add the concepts of we must establish teams. Can we establish teams here, developing and monitoring viable strategies? Once we do that evangelism, let us have teams that will continue that work. Now, the next stage is establishment. It is not enough for somebody to be a convert. Convert is the most. I saw somebody, I read a book, you know, written by one of seasoned ministers of our time. And I said, how quickly we forget how to become a disciple. And he said, after you are a convert, you become a carnal Christian. Then after a carnal Christian, I said, wow. The moment I read that, I stopped reading that book. Because the foundation is wrong. You don't need to be carnal after being converted. It's not a stage to discipleship. It's an aberration. It's a deviation. And anybody can become carnal. To become carnal means you have actually abandoned the line. So, the next stage after evangelizing, remember we leave teams there to continue the work, is establishing. Now, when the souls are saved, they needed to be grounded in the faith. And here we need to teach them a number of things, you know, that will really help them to become like followers of Christ and not just church attendants. You know, people come to church because they're interested in us. And the mistake we make, once we visit them once or twice, and then we see them 2-3 weeks coming again, we switched off. We are not concerned about them again. Now, when they don't come again, say, well, maybe it's not serious. But the truth is that it takes time to be established. It takes more than just sitting somebody in the pew. And that was what Barnabas did for Paul. If he didn't do that, Paul would not be established. He courted him for a while. And Paul gave in to that until he became somebody that he can introduce as a this man. You know, I want to see, I desire to see that if somebody says he has given his life to Christ, there must be somebody we call a foster parent. There must be a foster parent. Even for every new convert, there must be a foster parent. I want to bless God for my pastor here, Pastor Bamiwuyi. He was fostered. If he was not fostered, we will lose him. And the person who fostered him is not even a pastor till today. I remember the day he came to church with his wife, you know, and they came, and after the church, I said, bless God, you're a newcomer. Then I called this lady for, you know, let me just be silent about the name, but he probably know her, and he knows. I said, you too, see your mother. Mother, see your children. Make sure these children are not lost. And everything they were at that beginning, they were not young Christians, they were coming from a church. And the testimony is that they've been in a church where they accidentally got themselves absent, I think maybe 6 weeks. Nobody cares. Nobody asked. Nobody bothered. So when they come to us, you just grab them, tooth, nail, and everything. Say, you're not going anywhere. Mother, take care of her. I never even visited them. The mother was just doing the mothering thing until they now showed up. And I said, oh, wow, what a wonderful child you have brought up. So we need to establish people beyond 10 lessons, beyond visiting a team. I thank God for the follow-up people. They do follow-up, but the follow-up is not deep. Our follow-up must be deeper, must be strong. Our follow-up must be such that somebody, once you follow up somebody to detach, that person must have been destined for hell. So, and in the follow-up, the person begins to teach, give him instruction beyond the pulpit. Sorry if I embarrassed you. There was a time, I think, the wife, they came late. And they had only one child that day. And the foster parents saw them and said, my sister, why are you late? And the sister said, before we wake up, before we do this, and we nurse the kinekan, say, how many child do you have? He said, one.
And you are coming late. When do you wake up? Says 6 o'clock. What's to you? It's too late. You're waking up 6 o'clock. Before you take care of your husband, take care of your child. Will he hear that on the pulpit? It's not possible. But the foster parent was doing that. And they shake up. And they were coming to Bible study. Then they grew up. Praise God. Your children will be taller than you are. Your disciple will be stronger than you are. If you say, well, it's not easy. Even me, before I wake up, then you are going to have weaklings. So we need to establish, we need to challenge. And this is mentoring and coaching. It's not just the structured teachings in the book. The structured teaching in the book is good. We all go through 10 lessons. We go through Bible school. But we need somebody. We need somebody we can talk to. We need somebody that can talk to us. We need somebody who can rebuke us. We need somebody we can report to. And that is the essence of establishing. Now, when you go beyond that, we now go to equipping. You know, from converts, this person now becomes a follower of Christ. Now, the next level is equipping. We must equip the young believers adequately. There are many things that the young believers need to know. So that the person becomes to be like you. There are many things you need to pour into the lives of that person. That is when you can point to the person, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? That's the time you can encourage the person, water baptism is essential. That's the time you can talk about finances in the home. I got somebody who the Lord made me to have. I think Mrs. Olarin, you just said the person, Pastor Koya is your supervisor for Bible school. So the person came. He's not a member of our church. So we'll come after service and say he wants to come and show me his thesis. As if he wants to show me thesis, come and show me in the church. I don't have time after the church. I know where I'm going. You must be strategic. Come to church and show me your thesis. So the person will come after service. He will wait. Then one day I said, are you married? He said, he's married. Do you have children? He said, no, he doesn't have children. Dad, how long? He said, he's been married like so many months. And they are still trusting God. But that singular question changed his orientation. The church is attending, nobody cared. They are married. Let them continue to look unto the face of God. But here is somebody who wants, I said, no, you must. I said, bring your wife. When the wife came, I said, you've been married for so long. God can do it. Then we prayed. Then I said, what experience do you have? And he said, my husband is lazy in bed. Can they tell you on the pulpit? My husband doesn't like sex. I said, no. I said, maybe he's not doing it well. And each time I go to their house to go and teach them how to have sex, my wife will say, Efe logbe wongun. Let me go and logbe wongun. Praise God. So it came to a time. She now said she has pains. She has pains somewhere. I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm a professor of Ogundebu. We drove to his house and said, this is my child, my daughter. She has problems. She always has pains after sex. Then one said, it must be infection. Come and see me in the hospital. Anyway, let me give you this. Go and reduce this antibiotics. That month, Komuje. They packed all their belongings from their church. They just joined Christ to bow. Why would they not join? Praise God. So I call to equip him. You equip the person. You can do it. Give the person some instruction. Let me open confession. Many times that the Jew will write scripts and say, Pastor Koya, you are going to give this message. Number one, number two, number three. And then give us the outline. The kind of thing they are doing to ministers today. But it was secret. That is equipping. That is telling you can stand before the people to preach. Then I'll take that script. Pray about it. Add more flesh to whatever I think I can add. Then when I come up, I say, praise God. Father, God says this. They say, brother, that message was powerful. I said, there is power behind the power. Hallelujah. I remember I did it to some of the people that came with me too, and I gave them messages and they preached. And people were like, Have you been a pastor somewhere before? They didn't know that he was Owolowo Iso, Owolowo Jacob. But when the person makes you, this is still equipping. It's apprentice. It's an apprentice. He can make mistakes. Don't bother. So don't be so perfect. One of the ways to useless your disciple is not to use him. Gives you an assistant. If they give you an assistant and you think he's troublesome, just put him somewhere. Let him sit in front, but don't give him anything to do. He will soon die. And unfortunately, we kill future leaders that way because we don't engage them, because we don't challenge them. We are so perfect to know it all. You know, it doesn't have to be. One of my Fall Away members, one of the things he had against me was that I can be in church that I don't preach, that I will just take a tambourine and be doing like this. I said, why will I not be doing tambourine like this? Where there are people to preach? Then after they finish preaching, one of my deacons will say, Pastor, let us hear your voice. Just come, at least say something. So I'll just come and say, as you are going, the Almighty God will go with you. The power of God will back you up. What you have had today is enough to take you through life. And then they say they're happy. But I've done my work because I've been able to bring up somebody who can behave like me. So I can sit back and I can watch the person grow. Not after I've gone. Will the person now be fumbling and it will look like the ministry has deviated? The fourth stage, you know, we're running with time, is engagement. And after the level of apprentice, the person gets to the level of engagement. And I want to read this out. The validation of true disciple is in engaging or engaging our subjects that they may also oversee disciple. You know, we have talked about evangelism, establishing, equipping, and then engagement. When the person gets engaged, he is now matured. He can now do all, he can return that cycle over and over again. And it is only in that we can continue to reproduce ourselves. We have here discussed a multi-level discipleship. Now, when I produce and I got somebody that is like me, I become a father to that person, right? If that person becomes a father to another person, what do I become? Grandfather. Papa. But many people are papa without having children. We are only becoming papa if only we become pastor of pastors. Deacons of pastors. Deacons that produce deacons. And that is what God is expecting of us. So that we don't just sit in a position and expect that when I'm absent from church, somebody should look after me. You have made yourself a convert. You are not a convert for God's sake. You are supposed to be a disciple maker. So, what we have taught today, unfortunately, I saw a young man who came to me, my wife wanted to buy something and then the person came and he started talking and everything was hiding scripture. I said, young man, you have carried the grace of God to the marketplace. What you do, all of us in long reach, is that not what we're doing? The way you long reach and you build teams, can you long reach and build disciples? The way you pray, excel and build build teams, can you do the same thing and build teams? Is it because there is no logo that you become, is it brass? Or what? You know the levels now. What's the first level? Is it brass? Go to gold, from gold to platinum, and I don't know if I've done the thing upside down. But the idea is that what Jesus taught us that we are not using, marketers have hijacked. And that is what they are now doing. And then they will now say that if you bring somebody, you go to this level. If that person brings another person, you become somebody. And they're fascinating. Oh, wow. Then money will come to your account. We are crediting accounts that will soon fizzle away. But there's an account in heaven that God is crediting. And he's saying, your team is not doing well. And you know, in the multi-level marketing, if you are not doing well, you can lose all your titles. So, my appeal this morning, sliding forward. Brothers and sisters, going forward, we need to evaluate where we are individually. Am I reproducing?
If I go away today, that's a song I love. When I sing it, people think it's a funeral song. It's not. It's a song of evangelism. And that is the kind of song we need to sing. Fading away like the stars of the morning, losing the light in the glorious sun. So shall we move from this earth and its toilings, only remembered by what we have done. Only remembered, only remembered, only remembered by what we have done. So shall we move from this earth and its toilings, only remember by what. And speaking to church leaders, let us put structure of effective discipleship in place. Let us mentor. We don't need, even if we don't have other members that are committed, if it is only those of us here, by next year we would be double this. By years to come, it's not going to be triple, it's going to be double of the double, it's going to be four times. And as we pour into them, we see people that are in our own image, in our own image. Not in the image that we don't desire. Because we are pouring our life into that person. And that person is pouring his life into the other person. And if we continue that way, we will have not only numbers, we also have strong fruits. Fruits that will last. People that can weather the storm. People that will face situations like we face. And they will look at us and say, if daddy stood, I will also stand. If this happened to daddy and he was not shaken, I will not be shaken. Let's rise upon our feet. You call upon the Lord. I must not go away empty-handed. My years for service will not be wasted. You need me. I need you, Lord, that I may be more available to you. That I may bear much fruit. Maybe I'm so dry now. I don't speak to people about salvation. I don't have anybody I'm mentoring. I cannot say this is somebody I can encourage to stand in the faith. Maybe my life is not even worth the example that anybody can follow. Father, hold that you will touch me today. Father, hold that you will fill me today. That I may be able to bear fruit after your kind. That I may be able to bear fruit that will last. Fruit that against all challenges will be able to stand unshaken. Fruit that will stand till the end. Father, Lord, enable me. Father, enable me. Look at the church. Look at the church. Many members are missing. We don't know where they are. But you are going to commit yourself. I'm going to go after this soul. I will go after this soul. Whatever it will cost me, this soul must not be lost. It may be a member that has been standing before but has fallen away. Father, I must recover. I must recover all. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, please strengthen us. Father, please strengthen us. Jesus said, this tree is not bearing fruit. I want to cut it down. Lord, do not cast me away. Do not cast me away. Just repair me. Make me to be better. Don't cast me away. Don't forget about my role in the ministry. Father, make me fruitful. Let me ask you, maybe you are occupied with pressing for position. That is not the issue. That is not what God wants of you. He said, I've chosen you that you may bear fruit and that your fruit will abide. Father, I forget everything. I look forward to that glory, that glory, that glory that no man can give me. I want to get that praise that no man can give me. Father, Lord, help me, O Lord, that I'll be able to go after souls. I'll be able to make them to be like me. I'll be able to pour myself into them. I'll be able to see them standing in my position. Lord, give me men. Give me men. Give me women. Give me children that I will nurture and I will bring forth in the faith. In the mighty name of Jesus, let's pray for our churches. No more dryness in our churches. No more dryness in our churches. We must not lose our fruit. We must not lose our fruit. If the visitation team is not doing it, Father, I will do it.
I will commit myself to soul. I will not just be a clapper. I will not just be clapping and celebrating. I want to be able to say, I brought this one home. I am a father to this one. I am a mother to this one. Father, help us, oh God. Put end to barrenness in our churches. Put end to dryness in our churches. Put end to dryness in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. I cannot go away from here empty-handed. Father, fill me. Fill me with passions for soul. Fill me with passion that will bring up children in the faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Jesus was somewhere and a woman came and said, my daughter is sick. Jesus said, we cannot give the children bread to dogs. But the Bible says, Jesus said, I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Even if you are not yet finding a soul, there are souls in the churches. There are members of our churches who are wallowing in sin, who are wallowing in oppression, and they are looking for somebody to save them. As you go away from here, God will use you. When I got to Opa the other day, and I saw our brother Onirugbon, if you know how many people went after him, but and I saw him, he was teaching the Bible study, I said, my God, what a soul we will have lost. Thank God for the wife who stayed true. God raised men like that. Bring them back to the faith. Those who have said they are tired of church, nobody cares, Father, send us to them. And those who come to just come and sample. My brother, whom I use as example, he came to sample after he got frustrated where he was. But from that day, today, is a big pastor in the ministry. Father, send such people into our midst. There are souls we need to go after. Father, launch us out. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord. You lift up your hand and sing that song again. Must I go?